You want to talk about Wesley and whether he annoys you or.
You know, Wesley really doesn't annoy me that much. But it may be because when I started watching it, I was a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the only people who actually think Wesley is not that bad are women who were 12 in 1987. There's like, if you were 10 to 14 and you were a girly geek, which is a very, very small demographic, which is us, in 1987, then I think that that would mean that you would like Wesley Crusher and not think that he completely ruined everything.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to Anomaly. I'm Jen, and I've been gently resisting the dark side since 1970. Well, that doesn't matter. What does matter is that I am an anomaly.
And I'm Angela, and I had the Star Wars theme played at my wedding, my choice, and I am an anomaly. Welcome to the podcast, everybody.
Welcome, people.
Here we are on another Skype call as we anxiously await the birth of my baby. We're going to talk about two different things. Obviously, we're going to talk about BSG, and we have some listener mail, which we're very excited about.
Woohoo!
Yay! That means people are listening, right?
Yeah. We have dozens of fans.
Yeah. No,
all over the world.
All tens of fans. And for our main topic, Jen?
We will be discussing our geeky celebrity encounters.
Thus far. And we also have listener mail for that, including this very first one that we want to share with you. Do you have it up?
I'm looking for it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were prepared.
We were recording.
I know, I'm just...
You didn't want to hear type, 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 type while I'm recording.
Speaking of Kenny, it's an email from Kenny, is that correct?
Yes, it is. I'm looking
okay.
for it now. Yeah.
So we will be talking about BSG, of course, mm-hmm. and we will also be talking about our geeky encounters. And thank you all so much for writing in and sending us your audio files. Thank you ahead of time in case we forget later. Do you have the email?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead and read it.
I just listened to your latest podcast from Times Arrow. I really enjoyed the podcast as it's one of my favorite TNG episodes. But I agree with Angela.
Woo!
I don't think Guinan and Picard were romantically involved. I think their relationship goes far beyond that. I just wish we got some more answers. Great job, gals, and thanks for playing my audio bite, Kenny.
Yay, so, Kenny.
What did
That's
I say?
Me. I win! Nothing!
Are you spiking the ball? That's unsportsmanlike
if
conduct.
If anybody makes an email, tell me what that is referencing. I have nothing to give you, but I would be very excited if somebody knew what I just referenced. 1-0. Okay.
Well, as I said in my last episode, I am often wrong, and I was when I said that Kenny agreed with me. So there. I am not above admitting when I am wrong. But I stand by my own opinion.
That's cool. You just cheapen the relationship between Captain Picard. Oh my gosh. I don't want to go over this again. We'll just say Kenny is right and so am I. I'm just playing.
We will agree to a disagree and leave it at that. And if anyone else wants to disagree with me, you can email us at girlygeekswithaz@gmail.com.
All right, let's get ready to watch some TV.
Punch it.
I'm a television junkie. And the real world stumps me.
It was another exciting episode of Battlestar last night. Did you like it?
Yes, I did. It's getting really good. And I was so happy when I saw Chief going back to the airlock and just staying there and examining it.
Yeah.
I think the you know what's going to hit the fan when it comes down to Tori.
He's going to find out eventually. Well, the Cylons are turning against each other.
Yeah, and it only makes sense that they'd be turning against each other on the Battlestar too.
That's true.
So,
especially since Tori believes that she's magic or something.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was an interesting choice that he shaved his head and he's looking real meaty. And I don't know. I'm kind of sad because in a way, it's like the Chief we know really is kind of gone. And that makes me a little sad. But at this, especially with Callie being gone, it's like the last bit of him that still was a little human kind of went away with her a little bit, as messed up as their relationship was. And so that makes me a little sad, and you really don't know what he's going to do. But I don't know. He's very torn, which is good. That makes me feel a little better.
Yeah.
Is that he's torn. So.
Well, he's not griping about what she smells like anymore, which is nice. I mean, he's back to missing her.
That's true.
And
that's
that made me feel better. It was hard to see him talk like he never really loved her.
I know. It is very sad. Yeah. I'm glad they reapproached all of the Cylons being bombed, even though they didn't really go into it too much with the Leoben showing up. Mm-hmm. But did this bother you? I mean, and we always talk about this because I really love Starbuck and you're not always the biggest fan of hers. I was very annoyed about how like messed up and whiny she was being. You know what I mean? Like, it was so unher. I really liked it when she started kicking the butt of the Leoben.
Oh, yeah. She was back.
And it was almost like Leoben said exactly what I wanted to say was, uh-huh. Oh, there's that Starbuck. But it was like, she was like, from the beginning of the episode, she was all, I'm having a vision. Oh, God.
Especially that scene where she's painting and Leoben has his hand on her side. And yeah. I know.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. Which is the same sentiment I have for every single thing that Baltar said. And I'm sorry, I'm talking too much, but did you notice how Baltar just seemed to leave out the biggest sin, which was the fact that he is pretty much responsible for the whole thing in the first place? And it's so funny. It's like, didn't you leave something out there, Baltar? Because that never even... Like, do you think if people knew that, like, as much as they've all forgiven him for Caprica or for New Caprica, don't you think that the original attack might change everybody's mind?
Oh, yeah. That would be the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah. Of course, you know, he could mess it up and say, well, this is all God's will. And I mean...
I was just going to say that.
Gosh, it's so messed up and it's so scary to listen to him say anything. Mm-hmm. Just because you know, you've been watching those things, those documentaries because of that cult thing in Texas, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And all of the cult leaders kind of sound like that.
Exactly.
And all the people around them are like, yes, oh, yes. Well, how is it possible that you can listen to that? And anyway, so I'm sorry. I'm taking over.
He says things that speak to them. I mean, they're all desperate. They're all looking for some hope. And he says just the right thing. And they latch onto that. Even though he's got wild, crazy eyes and blood all over his face. He's talking about, there's something in the universe that loves me.
I know, you almost expect him to start breaking into song. Anyway. So, that's that. Can you think of anything else?
The despair is becoming more and more evident as each episode is aired. Mm. I mean, and it's becoming, it manifests itself, not only the story, but the visuals that, you know, the way they film things and just that, the choice of the crapper ship, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Everything that they are setting up for.
You can almost smell it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But that and what else was I going to say? I had something pretty poignant. Of course, I forgot it. But
I do like the painting of Saturn. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that vision that she had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hilo is being Superman once again.
Of course he is!
Except for when he... did the mutiny thing. So I don't know. I was trying to put myself in his place and I could not decide what I would do. I continue to follow her or would I take the safety of the crew into consideration and say, you know what? No, we're not doing this.
Well, I have a question though. And I talked to my husband about this slightly yesterday when we first watched it. Is that okay? If they have the coordinates from Leoben's ship, the coordinates are still the coordinates. Why can't they beam? Why can't they
go back?
FTL back to Galactica, get supplies, and then go to the coordinates that Leoben gave them. I mean, You can do both. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, unless there's something I missed. And another thing I laughed about was that Hilo got relieved of duty again. So he changed jobs again. Even though he did take it back, it still was funny when she was like, "You're relieved of duty." And I was like, and he goes on to another job.
Yeah, she picked the wrong person to stand in. But I guess Gaeta is the next in line. But I think I would have skipped Gaeta. I wouldn't have even told him. I'd just be, okay, you're relieved too, even though you haven't even opened your mouth next, you know.
Well, you didn't know which way Hilo was going to go because he beat up that one dude. But I think it was important for him to do that because it's not necessarily that he was against what Starbuck was saying. It's just that he doesn't want that kind of activity on the ship.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't want people to get... And see, that is a hero thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very... Hera.
Yeah.
I think there's something to that. That his baby is the female version of a hero, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We may want to talk about this sometime, but our friend Craig, who we mentioned sometimes, has decided that he thinks that all of the 12 Cylons, the Cylons represent the 12 zodiac signs.
I don't know anything about the Zodiac, really.
Well, I know a lot about the Zodiac. So that's maybe something we can approach one day. And if anybody has any, the only reason I bring it up is if anybody has any ideas about that, feel free to email us. And speaking of emails, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Go ahead.
We got an email from Joe. Well, I can't find his email, but I'll tell you the gist of what he said.
Okay.
He said that when we were discussing photograph that parallels The Last Supper by Da Vinci, and we could not decide on who the woman was on the left, that was standing near Rosalind pointing at six. And
right.
I said I thought it was a six model. I said it was Gina, and you said it was Deanna. And apparently there was a link that it says who everyone is in the picture, and we didn't know this.
Okay, yeah, we'll read the two, and then we'll discuss.
Okay, you read yours, because like I said, I can't find that specific email. He sent two, and I'm confusing them. I can't find it. So
okay.
You read the one from Casey.
Is from Casey, and it says, "Hey, Angela and Jen, as I told Angela, I love Anomaly Podcast and hearing what you have to say about BSG, Star Wars, RenFest, etc. Do as many podcasts as you can." Now, here's where I get supremely geeky. I know you girls have been discussing the season 4 BSG photo on sci-fi.com, and I have to disagree with your ideas that it's Deanna. If you follow the Explore photo link, it will give you a closer look at all the characters, and you can get character information by clicking on them. It turns out that the beautiful woman with honey brown hair is actually Natalie, one of the many versions of number 6. Thoughts on that? I also wanted to ask you guys about something that's been bothering me in the season 3 finale of BSG. Do you think there is a specific link to the shared vision between Cher and Athena, number 6, present Rosalind, and present Rosalind? And from the sounds of it, baby Hera, maybe? Could it just be mysticism, or is there something more to that? Thank you. You two are great. Keep doing what you're doing as long as you can. Thank you, Casey, first of all, for writing in.
Thank you.
And I do, first of all, I think when we originally saw that picture, it did not have the Explore option because they had made a special BSG promotional thing. And so when we were first discussing it, it did not have the Explore option. When you look, there is no context for somebody named Natalie. You know, we've been watching this since the beginning, and we've never heard of a six named Natalie. We know Gina. And that this is the first I've heard of it. So obviously we need to be looking at the website as well. But I think just from watching the episodes, I think arguing between Deanna and another six model, maybe Gina, made a lot of sense, I guess.
No, but thank you for sending that in. So now we know.
Yeah.
I was
awesome.
A little more right than Angela.
You were. I wasn't discounting that it was that, but yeah, I really did think that it was Deanna. I was kind of hoping that it was Deanna because she's such an interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had a question about the shared vision between Athena, the six, Caprica six, I think it is, and Rosalind. Mm-hmm. I do think it's interesting. What are your thoughts? Had you had time to think about that?
No, but I think it's going to resurface before the end of the series. So
yeah.
I think there is a lot to it. I don't think it's mysticism. I think it's, you know, it's going to be tied into the end of the series. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think so too. To me, it has to do with Caprica Sixes and Athena's tie, really strong tie to the Colonials, that somehow they got tied into humanity a lot more than any of the other models for some reason. So that's what I think. I think we still have to see some more on that to figure out what's going on. Yeah. I'm not sure. But yeah, I am kind of sad that it's not Deanna, but I think we were following our context clues and it seemed good at the time. Did you get a chance to look at it? I did go look and look at the poster.
Re-examine.
And it had to examine it that it says Natalie. So that's very nice that her name's Natalie. But thank you, Ron Moore, for just throwing that at us. Anyway.
He's good at that.
Okay. He is. Remember when he hasn't done that recently, but remember when he'd put things in the previously on Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah. He stopped doing that now, though.
That didn't actually occur. That had never actually occurred before, mm-hmm. and evidently were filmed, but didn't actually make it to an episode. Yeah, those are pretty fun. He hasn't done that again yet.
No, yet.
Also, still with the never-ending supply of cigarettes and alcohol still present on the Galactica, and evidently on the sewage ship as well. Mm-hmm. So, and they keep saying all will be revealed. Mm-hmm. Please stop doing that. Dear sci-fi. sci-fi.com, please stop saying all will be revealed. Eventually, yes, we know everything will be revealed, but it's not going to be in the next episode. Yeah. So stop telling us that.
Dear sci-fi. Duh.
We're going to watch it anyway. So don't worry about getting us to watch the next episode because we're going to watch it. Just stop telling us that something's going to be fracking revealed. Thank you. I know, I'm a horrible person.
Is it the sci-fi channel that's doing that, or is it Ron Moore? I thought it was in the intro.
No, it's in
their
the ads.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in their commercials, yeah. All right, now on to our main topic.
Okay, so today's main topic is geeky celebrity encounters. I think I'll start and we'll let you end and we'll be the end caps to everyone else's stories.
And thank you for sending your stories in.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead.
My only geeky celebrity encounter is kind of lame, but I'll tell you guys anyway. I only went to one con, and my second cousin, who's probably about 10, 15 years older than me, took me to a Star Trek convention in San Antonio when I was probably about 18 or 19 years old. And it was so exciting. I'd never been. And the person that we were going to go listen to was John Delancey, who played Q in TNG. I loved that character, and I was looking forward to actually getting to see him in person. The night before we went, I took the time to sketch a portrait of him, and I was going to have him sign it. So we stood in line at the con, and after being hit on by a Klingon and a Romulan, and
sweet,
we finally got to sit on the front row, and people kept asking him questions about if he preferred being omnipotent or human, things like that. I don't even remember how he answered the question.
Lame.
So yeah, at the end, the people who ran the convention had everyone pass their things they wanted signed to the front. And they all stood in line to walk past John Delancey. Somehow my portrait of him got out of order. And as I approached him, he was looking around for the person who drew the picture. And I got shuffled past before I got to talk to him. But aww. I could see that he really liked it. And he signed it. He had this big smile on his face. And so that was my brief celebrity encounter. And I have the portrait somewhere. I have what we call a hope chest that women in my family get when they turn 16. They get a cedar hope chest to keep memorabilia and keepsakes and things like that. And it's in there somewhere. And my plan is to scan it and put it on the gallery
awesome.
On our website. But that's my one and only geeky celebrity encounter.
That's a good one. I love Q. Did you ever watch him on Days of Our Lives?
Yes, I did. My mom watched him. He was General Hospital, too, wasn't he?
Oh, Days of Our Lives was so much better.
Yeah, but I think I remember him being on General Hospital, and he time traveled.
Oh, really? How
yes.
funny.
Yeah,
of course he did.
Yeah.
The only difference between soap operas and sci-fi is nothing. All right, so who do you want to do next?
Why don't we read an email and then we'll play an audio clip from another another listener.
You want me to read?
Okay,
Desi's,
you go first.
Do you want to go?
You read Desi's.
Okay. All right. This is from Desi. Thank you for writing in. She says, "The only encounter I can think of is a marvelously lame one. I met Larry Niven at a con and he invited me to join a group for his famous Irish coffee. I said that I didn't drink coffee, dough. That effectively closed the conversation. I blew that one big. Also, Neil Gaiman looks like death warmed over. Well, death as he draws death. Pale, but quite a long, tall drink of water. Oh. Whenever anybody asks you anything, you just say yes. Mm-hmm. And Irish coffee's not really much for coffee.
It's more Irish and less coffee.
And usually if they put like Bailey's in it, it's really good. You can't even taste the coffee. So next time someone invites you anywhere for anything, you always have to say yes. Wow, that's funny. Thank you very much for writing in.
Our next celebrity geeky encounter was sent in by Rico from Treks and Sci-Fi.
Hello, Jen and Angela over at Anomaly. This is Rico from the Treks and Sci-Fi podcast, and I thought I would just send you a comment. You had asked for stories or commentary about meeting celebrities, and I, of course, have gone to many Trek and sci-fi conventions over the years, and I thought I'd share a few little stories with you. One is about Robert Picardo, who played, of course, the Doctor on Star Trek Voyager. Now, I saw him a few years ago. There's an annual in May in Michigan, Motor City Comic Con, which is a fairly large comic convention and celebrity con. There are usually quite a few Trek stars there as well. Robert Picardo was there 1 year, and I was going up to his table trying to get an autograph and a picture, and it didn't go that well. I had asked him, for a quick, stand next to him or do something like that and get a picture, and even though it didn't seem all that busy, he didn't really want to do that. I got an autograph, but that was all he really wanted to do. The thing about this story, though, that didn't really bother me that much. You know, sometimes that's sometimes they'll go for those things, sometimes they won't. But what I saw, like maybe a half hour, 45 minutes later when I walked by his table is, person after person walking up next to him and getting a picture taken with him. So I guess maybe he got either beat down by enough requests or changed his tune, or maybe I smelled funny or something. I don't know. But that kind of bothered me a little bit. He just seemed kind of, when these guys do these things, and I know that, I just feel that they should sort of expect, the photograph thing, the autograph thing. And I had, paid a few dollars to get the autograph even too. So, but anyway, not a really a big deal. And he still seems like a great actor and a great guy, I think. But I think in just different circumstances, these things happen. And then the other thing I'll share is Marina Sirtis, who I've seen several times. She usually comes to these cons each year when they have them, although not every year. I should say maybe every other year. But anyway, she's always just great. She'll do everything. I've seen her pick up babies, take multiple pictures with people. I've had a picture taken with her. She's always really out there for the fans. And, I think that's great. And I, I just really have to hand it to her. I know that's a hard thing to do, especially for the hours they do when they come to these conventions, and just to be, put on a smile for everyone. But I've never seen her get, worn down, even at the beginning to the end of the day. She's just great. So I hats off to her for hanging in there and being, the queen, I'd say the reigning Trek queen of conventions these days. Marina's great. So anyway, there's a couple of stories for you, and I'm enjoying your podcast and look forward to listening to it when it comes out. Thank you, and this is Rico signing off.
Okay, thank you, Rico. That was awesome. Awesomely lame.
It wasn't lame.
I'm kidding.
Mine was awesomely lame.
Marvelously lame. That's awesome to me. She called hers
marvelously lame. Okay. Lame. The next geeky celebrity encounter is from Joe, and he says, "Good afternoon, ladies. I just wanted to send a story about a geeky celebrity encounter. Unfortunately, the story is not mine. I have had a few celebrity encounters, but more with sports stars than anyone who acts. My father, on the other hand, met two very well-known actors. Now, this was back in 1969/70, so his meeting would not have been geeky at the time, but now... In 1969, my dad was helping my Nana work at the small store she ran in our home in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. My dad was in the back when he heard the bell ring on the door. He knew my grandmother was out front, so he kept stocking or whatever it was he was doing. He said he overheard the customers talking and went out front when he realized the gentleman speaking had accents. He walked out front and my Nana is at the register ringing up items for James Bond and Professor Dumbledore. Yep, she was helping Sean Connery and Richard Harris. My dad apparently told them he loved their work and they all had a pleasant conversation and they went on their way. They were in this very small coal mining town filming a movie called The Molly Maguires, an excellent movie, by the way. So yeah, like I said, not necessarily geeky in 1969, but I would totally geek out today if I ever met Sean Connery or had the opportunity to meet Richard Harris when he was alive. So anyway, not my geeky encounter personally, but an old family legend handed down through the generations. Well, one generation anyway.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that. Dumbledore and James Bond. The James Bond. I like that a lot. Okay.
And our next audio clip is from Meds from across the pond, and he met somebody from a sci-fi television show. Take it away.
Hi, Jen and Angela. This is Meds. I thought I'd take this opportunity to tell you about a couple of people I met at the Memorabilia Show at the Birmingham NEC. It's normally held in November. Well, the big one is in November. The first one I thought I'd tell you about is Chris Barry, star of Britain's comedy sci-fi show Red Dwarf. He plays Arnold Judas Rimmer in that show, and he's also played the butler in the Tomb Raider films. I've met all of the characters from Red Dwarf, Danny John-Jules, Craig Charles and Robert Llewellyn, and they've all been absolutely brilliant. They've always taken time to meet the fans, and they're regulars at these little conventions. But Chris Barry has always been a bit of a sly fox. You know, he sneaks in unannounced and then sneaks back out again. And so for me to get to meet the man was pretty important for me. He was actually the last person out of all the Red Dwarf crew for me to meet. And I'd waited in the queue for about half an hour. And at these things, you have to pay about £15 to £20, depending who the actor is, to get a signed autograph off them. And, you know, sometimes you don't mind meeting these people, you know, and you don't mind paying the money to, you know, for the actual privilege, I suppose, you know, at the end of the day. Even though we keep them in work, damn these actors. But still, you know, I got to meet him. He was a fabulous guy. And, you know, I got to ask him a load of questions. And But he spun the tables on me a little bit and started asking questions about me, and this took me by surprise because I honestly didn't think he'd be interested in little old me. And you know, he asked me the questions, what I did for a living, do I do writing, you know, and all that. And I told him about the acting I would do, and he was generally interested. It came as such a surprise, and he also had the slight smugness that Arnold Judas Rimmer has, which I found quite appealing actually. And I got my autograph off of him, and before I got this precious photograph of him with his signature on, of course he asked me my name, and I like to be called Meds, and I slightly mumbled a little bit when I said it because I was a bit nervous, and I went, oh, it's Meds, you know. And he wrote Mad on there, so on my photograph I have Too Mad, Love from Chris Barry. Maybe the man did actually think I was mad. About a year later, at the same show, they had a big advertisement saying that one of the cast of Heroes was going to be there. And this was Greg Grunberg, so I hope I've said his last name right. He plays Partman in the show. And although, you know, I always think he's a bit of a smaller character actually in Heroes, but, you know, I thought he's a character from Heroes and an actor who's been in Alias. I've got to go and meet him. So, you know, we went and found him, and he was sitting in the corner of a very small booth, out of the way. There was no advertisements or anything for Heroes. And it only just started to be shown in England at the time, but it was getting some good, you know, some great reviews. So there was no one in the queue. I thought, okay, here we go. I'll go and get him. I gave my camera to my mate and said, you know, get a photograph of me and Greg, that'd be great. So I met him, shook his hand, and he seemed a pretty nice guy, pretty genuine guy. And it was £20 for an autograph. And I thought, okay, well, 20 quid, you know, he's come all the way from America, he's took his time out to come and see us, he's promoting the show, great. I had a nice chat with him, great guy, really nice guy. And then I said out of politeness, do you mind if, you know, I have a photograph taken with you? And he turned around and went, he was going to say, yeah, you know, he was going to stand up and, you know, put the arm around me and everything. And his, you know, his personal assistant suddenly stopped and said, I'm sorry, you know, this is you've got to pay another £20. I said, another £20? That's £40 all in, you know, in one go. That's a lot of money, you know. That's, you know, I think probably around about $80, I think, isn't it? And I thought, £40. I said, look, I'm a bit embarrassed. He looks embarrassed. It was one of those awkward moments. And my mate Kelly couldn't actually get the camera to, you know, take a quick picture. And we didn't get a photograph in the end. And it dawned on me then. I thought, what if that's the reason why there's so many people haven't actually bothered to queue up? Because they're trying to get £40 out of you to have a photograph. There was other people, like Tom Baker was there. At one time was George Romero. And he was more than happy to have a photograph taken. And he was only £15 to have a signed, you know, autograph. And the photograph was free. And this was George Romero. And I thought, yeah, you've got to watch that there. You're fleecing the customers a bit. But anyway, that was my little tales of meeting those two people. And great podcast, girls. Look forward to hearing your next one. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Thank you for sending that.
Thanks. That was awesome.
All right.
And then we have one more from Kenny. And
Kenny.
He met Denise Crosby.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We like Denise Crosby.
Yes.
Okay. Take it away, Kenny.
Hello, Jen and Angela. It's Kenny from California. Just thought I would drop you a line and give you one of my really quick experiences with a Star Trek actor. I've seen quite a few of them. I go to quite a few cons. But what I liked about this one is that this wasn't at a con. I was actually working on the Sunset Gower studio, and I was going to the commissary where, you know, you have lunch. And lo and behold, I'm walking in front of this blonde woman, and I go to the door, I hold it open for her, and she looks at me, smiles, and says, thank you. And it's Denise Crosby, who plays Tasha Yar on The Next Generation. It was just kind of like a surreal moment, because I love TNG and Tasha. And she walked in front of me and stood in line in front of me, and, you know, she turned around and said, oh, you know, if you want to get in front, that's fine. I'm like, no, you know, obviously I'm not going to cut in front of Denise Crosby, and just I had a little chit chat, nothing really, you know. I didn't say, oh my god, I love you. And you know, when actors are on the lot, you try not to bombard them with, you know, you don't be that typical fanboy. So it was nice. She just smiled and you know, very pleasant and very sweet, and it was a very cool experience. So anyways, that's my really quick story about how I briefly met Denise Crosby.
That totally didn't happen.
What totally didn't happen?
Kenny's story.
He's such a liar.
I know. He's a really big liar. All those liars out in California.
No, of course he met her.
I'm just kidding.
He's such a gentleman, too. I think he said he opened the door for her.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Very cool. Okay. All right. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Drum roll.
We did record this at one point,
yeah,
but it's not.
We junked it.
Published.
Yeah, we'll never see the light of day.
Yeah, that was a really bad episode. That was like the only good part of the bad episode.
We started off talking about why we liked Wesley Crusher, and then we wandered into all the costuming that ever occurred
and
on Star
wandered
Trek.
So badly. Like, it was horrible. It was so
it was
horrible.
Bad. And the recording was worse than Skype.
Yeah, I don't know what we did wrong. Oh, well. Anyway. Okay, so this is my personal celebrity geeky encounter. For some reason, I guess it was right before, it was after First Contact came out, but it was before Insurrection. And we live in between two bigger cities. And somehow in our little bitty town at the bookstore, Marina Sirtis came and did a book and video signing. And at the time, I was working at a German restaurant, which was right across the street. And when I found out this was happening, the minute I got off work, I just didn't have a choice because she was only there for a certain amount of time. I went in my uniform, and at the time my uniform was like a little German drindle. But I got in line and I bought a copy of First Contact, and I was very excited to meet her. And of course, because she's Counselor Troi, and I've been watching TNG forever. And this was about maybe five, six years ago. Anyway, so I'm waiting in line in my little outfit, and I go up to her, and I got her to sign a picture of herself for one of my friends, and got her to sign the copy of First Contact. But at the same time, at this German restaurant, I happened to be the brochure girl. They had taken pictures of me and in my little outfit and put me on the brochure for the German restaurant. And so while she was signing her stuff to me, I signed a picture of myself and gave it to her. And it was so funny because she just looked at me like, she goes, this is you. And I said, yeah. And I was excited because it looked like it kind of broke up her day, you know, and that made me very happy. And I'm sure she probably threw it away like that day. But in the off chance that she kept it, I just wanted her to like show it to Brent Spiner or to like somebody and be like, this crazy girl in South Texas just gave me this. And I had to show it to you and how weird it is. And so, but the other cool thing is I'm only one degree of separation away from Brent Spiner and from Captain Picard. So what are you going to do? So anyway, that's my big, big geeky encounter with her. And I'm very glad I did that because only I would do that, give a celebrity an autographed picture of myself. So there you go. If that doesn't tell you anything about me or everything you need to know about me, I don't know what will. So,
didn't you anyway. Almost meet Captain Picard's son?
No, I actually did meet Captain Picard's son, who was in an episode of TNG, The Inner Light, mm-hmm. where he experiences the whole lifetime of that planet mm-hmm. that gets blown up by a sun or something like that, where the sun goes supernova. Do you remember this
yes,
episode?
Of course.
Okay, of course you do. Well, his son in that episode is actually played by his real life son, who is this really tall dude. I worked at a theater in upstate New York at a regional theater, and his son, which is all professional theater, and his son was in a show that I did costumes for. And I don't know, he wouldn't really know me or whatever, but I did meet him a few times because that's what you do when you're costuming a show. And there were rumors this one weekend that his father, who, as we know, is Patrick Stewart, was going to come and see him in the show. But I was so aware of how much of a total freakout I would be that I actually left and went to Philadelphia to visit some friends of mine who proceeded to, you know, hit me over the head for coming to Philadelphia instead of meeting Patrick Stewart, because both of them are huge fans as well. They're like, why didn't we come see you? I was like, well, I don't know. I just, you know, he came to see his son in a play, and I didn't want to be stupid fangirl because I don't think that's appropriate. No. I don't know.
I understand.
That was just me. So Patrick Stewart, if you're out there, I wish I could have met you, but alas, no. I think we're all better off for me not having gone into convulsions having met you. So there you go. But I was able to be pretty cool, calm, and collected when I met Marina Sirtis. So I don't know what the difference would have been, but I don't know. Mainly because she was in a situation where she was meeting mm-hmm. fans. And so I felt
it was okay.
Like it was easier yeah. and okay to go do that because that's the reason she was there. Whereas he's not there to meet fans. He was there to see his son. So I felt like that's what he needed to be doing, you know. So anyway, that was that's it. Because I always have this vision of like what it would have been like, but that's my lame story. The Marina Sirtis one is much better. So, all right. Well, that wraps up this episode, I think. Thank you to everybody who wrote in. We're so excited to read and play everyone's geeky encounters today. Okay, well, that is the episode. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you really, really like us, or if you want to pretend you like us, go to iTunes and leave us a comment or a rating. We thank you, anybody who has already, thank you so much for all the kind comments. We really appreciate it. And even though we try to be one of the boys, when you leave a comment, remember that we are ladies and you can be nice to us. I can play both cards, right?
Yes. It is permissible.
I'm just kidding. Yes. Please leave your comments. We're happy to see anything. Also, you can email us. We will read whatever we can. If there's something you need to say, if you vehemently disagree or agree with us, please write in and let us know. There are a couple ways you can do that. You can go to our website, which is anomalypodcast.com, anomalypodcast.com. And you can go to contact us and email us directly from there, or you can just email us at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. Or next time, what do you think we'll be doing?
Well, it depends on you.
It does depend on me.
And your baby.
That's true. We may Do we have a video cast we might put up, an old one?
We have a mini cast that I started. I'll continue to make them. They're in parts, very small parts, from the Renaissance Festival. So we may just put up the first part of that.
Okay. So that may be the next thing. And then we may also have some guest anomalies, correct?
Yes.
So that's very cool. And I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And thank you for listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
So you come home after a rough day at the office, have a drink, torrent the latest movie, make a sandwich, buy a human off eBay, listen to your favorite podcast, and not leave them any feedback. I know what you're thinking. Perfect night, right? Wrong. Go to iTunes and leave them some feedback. And that's something to think about.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.